Hey, everybody, it's Brian Davis here, Longhorn Confidential. Longhorn Confidential is brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or visit Zaxby's.com. Well, boys, here we are again. Brian Davis, Kirk Bowles, and Cedric Golden off of a weekend of touring around the state of Texas. Longhorns went down to Houston this past weekend and put it on Rice, 48-13. The boys in the desert were sweating it out there at the end. Thank you, Deshaun Jameson, taking care of things with the big return there.
Hey, the boys in the desert don't sweat.
They don't. That's true.
It's
they 50, don't sweat.
50-50 money, right?
It's the people that are giving the boys in the desert money. They're sweating.
They're the ones sweating.
I'm going to tell you, I'm in a little office pool, and I'll just say this before we get started. I was happy to see that 98-yard kickoff return.
Were you?
Yeah, that helped me in a couple of areas.
Oh,
yes,
putting money on the horns.
Well, no.
Oh, no?
No. It's a pool, sir.
The bottom line is the good teams win, the great teams cover. Texas did exactly that. Winning, they were 31.5-point favorites, took care of business. Now they go into the Big 12 opener this week against the Pokes, the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Pistols firing, Mike Gundy and the whole crew coming to Royal Memorial Stadium this weekend. Mike Gundy, if you have forgotten or you want to block this out, they are 7-2 against your Bevos since 2010. Cedric, Mike Gundy owns this program right now.
The mullet has won 5 straight at DKR. And we can't call, is it okay to call it DKR? Because some people don't think we should do that on First Reference. But I like DKR. The mullet has it going. And the one thing about the mullet, he always has a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And this Spencer Sanders is no joke.
He's a young quarterback.
He's young, but he's no joke, Duck. I think they're going to have their hands full with him and Chuba Hubbard. And our guy, Tylan Wallace, they always seem to have some triplets. Remember, it was Justice Hill and Mason Rudolph and James Washington?
Mm-hmm.
These are the new triplets in Stillwater.
He always has great skill position talent. I mean, you mentioned the people you just did, and you got Charlie Blackmon, you got Dez Bryant. He gets those underneath the five-star.
Rashawn Woods.
And, exactly. Yeah, another one. They've always had him. And he's always had a good quarterback. So this will be a very balanced offense they're going to have to stop, akin to LSU. Now, Spencer Sanders is not Joe Burrow yet.
No.
Maybe he will be someday. But
not Saturday.
Who's to say they don't have a better running game than LSU?
Well, let's talk about that. I think people, if you have not been paying attention to Oklahoma State's start, they rank 9th in the country scoring, and they have the nation's number one rusher in Chuba Hubbard right now. He's averaging 173.7 yards per game. He's got 7 touchdowns, and they have the nation's leading receiver in Tylan Wallace, leading the nation in receiving yardage. I saw a stat said on the screen, they showed that going into the game Saturday, that Oklahoma State already had 6 plays of 50 yards or more before the game even started, and then Chuba Hubbard opened with, a 75-yard touchdown run?
You know, and it reminds me of the Longhorns. Every time you look around, there's a 50-yard touchdown.
Is it really?
Is there?
Is
there?
Two different ways to arrive at the same objective. The Texas Longhorns are more of a station-to-station.
No, not against
team.
Rice.
Me and you could have scored from 50 against Rice.
True.
That was just...
It was a beat down.
It was just non-competitive. It was exactly what we thought it would be.
Exactly what they needed.
I said it'd be
LSU.
48-7, and it was 48-13. So it was just a bad game. Every team has one of those. And I'm going to tell you, we talked to Tom today, and the one thing, and I agree with him, that impressed me was they went down there and they took care of business. They didn't go down there sleepy-eyed and let Rice hang around for a while. No, they put their foot on Rice's throat. And they won that game, and they sent a message early that this is gonna be a blowout, so you guys chill out.
4 touchdowns on the first 4 drives.
And Rice had 1 first down that same time period. That tells you all you need to know, that they were seriously outmatched, and Rice had no chance. That's, Rice collected its $1 million paycheck.
Good for Rice.
Texas got well before starting Big 12 play. Everybody got what they wanted.
They made fun of the Texas team GPA.
The
mob did a 2.89. And, of course, 2.89 might get you thrown out of Rice. So I
they also
that was
did a McConaughey parody, didn't they? Driving a little
Lincoln with
convertible
the horn
around. Yeah, had the horns on. So trouble is you can't hear the mob.
You couldn't hear it.
You know, they need captions or something, because I don't know how funny they are or not without the props. It's hard to tell. The Mob was, the band is better than the football team.
Actually, you know, Cedric, you were in Dallas, and we're going to get to your trip in just a second, but you should have seen Kirk. I told Kirk about halftime, I said, I'm done taking notes. And he laughed at me, and then, you know, Kirk at the end of the game is still scrawling out all of his notes, and
I'm like, help himself.
I'm done.
He does it because he saves these notebooks and all of his notes over the years, and he's looking for all of these stats and stuff. I can't do it. I lose interest after about, if it's 28-0, I put away the stat sheet and the notebook and the play by play, and I start working on ideas about what I'm going to write. Mm-hmm. I can't keep up with that.
Well, let's talk about ideas for this week, because obviously with all of the offensive firepower that's coming into town, defense is going to be the key. Now, I really think that Todd Orlando started Jalen Green and Kobe Boyce against Rice simply for the fact that he wanted them to get another game under their belt. He knew it'd be an easy game, right? Kobe Boyce had what looked like a room service pick six opportunity right in his hands, did not get there.
The wrong room.
There you go. But nonetheless, you know, I thought that it was mission accomplished from that standpoint. And Kirk, you know, you were there live. We saw Taquan Graham get to the backfield a few times. Keandre Coburn.
They were disruptive.
Did they get pressures, Brian?
They got
several sacks.
So we could stop talking about them not having any pressure.
I'm just saying, we saw some disruption.
A sack from a D lineman.
Wow.
Yeah, we were there. We saw it.
I'm glad y'all were there to document. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't read it in my Austin American States.
Absolutely. And speaking of the D-line, this is going to be a bigger test, okay?
It's a real test.
You know, so we're not going to see Cowboy this week, are we?
Probably.
I wouldn't think. With that running game, I mean, they average 285 a game on the ground. You look at the competition, I know. But the
one thing Todd Orlando said back in August was that they would not, he would not allow the Texas defense to sacrifice size and girth for speed. So if Oklahoma State sees that Cowboy formation out there, they're going to try to run it down their throat. And that's the balance that you got to strike as the defensive coordinator is, am I going to give up stuff on the ground to have a bunch of fast guys out there?
Guess what? They're going to try to run it on them regardless. I mean, they're going to test Texas. And the one thing about Gundy is he's known for quarterbacks. He's known for developing quarterbacks, but he always tries to establish the run first. They're going to run it early and often. They're going to make that Texas front seven tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're in Cowboy, they're probably going to throw it anyway. But the Cowboy to me is invented to get more speed on the field and to get more of a pass rush from your front. But I think regardless of formation, Gundy's going to come in and he's going to try to establish Juba early.
Well, you know, the West Virginia game last year, Todd Orlando baited him into running the ball because Will Grier and those receivers were so good that, you know, they'd put five in the box a lot of times. And that way, Will Grier goes to the line and said, this should be a running play.
This is what we want.
You know, you want them to run the ball. And they did. Kind of shortens the game a little bit more. But this one, I don't know if you want Oklahoma State to run the ball. But
I don't either.
You know, and I know Tylan Wallace is maybe the best receiver in the conference, at least top three probably.
CeeDee Lamb has something to say about that.
But I wonder how many other great receivers they have. You know? I don't know if Oklahoma State's as loaded at other receiver positions.
But the one thing, they always have that guy that we've never heard of, like a Marcel Aitman or somebody like that.
But if you have one, you can double him.
But no, I'm saying the other guy, not the famous guy.
Yeah.
But they always have another guy that you're like, who's this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And he'll emerge.
But you got to stop the run first.
You have to stop the run first, and you worry about Tylan later.
Well, the one thing that I thought was interesting landed in my email box after the big Rice win. Texas started the year, according to betonline.org, as a 40-1 favorite to win the national title.
Woo!
It's down to 33-1.
Come on now.
It's trending in the right direction.
Get your bets in.
Okay, let's enough about Rice and enough about Oklahoma State. I want to talk about two things that happened this weekend that were unrelated to Texas and Rice, and that was two side trips that both of you boys made for the weekend. Instead, I want to start with you. You went to Dallas, and you went to go see SMU. Tell us about that.
First of all, driving through Park Cities. You know, I live in Pflugerville, so the houses in Pflugerville don't look like that. And so I'm going like 10 miles an hour on Mockingbird, just checking out the sights. Mm-hmm. And people blowing at me, mad at me. I was like, I'm going to enjoy this. My job assignment was to cover SMU because one Shane Bouchel was one win away from getting them off to a 3-0 start for the first time since I was in high school. So I went and I talked to Shane. He was super. Had his problems early against a scrappy yet winless Texas State Bobcat team, which is coached by a friend of the On Second Thought podcast.
Jake Spavital.
But he had his problems, zeroed in on a couple of receivers and threw a couple of picks, but then he got better.
What was the crowd like? Was anybody there?
Was there a crowd?
They had more than 10,000?
Who was there besides Steve Bouchel and family?
That would about cover it.
How big
there
crowd
were probably about four, about maybe 1,000. Most
1,000 people?
Maybe. I don't
know. Wow.
It wasn't that many. Maybe more, man. I'm used to 95,000. So it's hard for me to come down to whatever it was. There were most of the people were on that grassy knoll.
Ooh.
That's right. It was kind of cool.
That's pretty cool, though. I've seen that.
It's really cool.
It's cool.
But the kids were sliding down it.
Oh, yeah.
Little cardboard.
I saw Baker Mayfield's first college
game
there.
Exactly. So it was fun. And Shane played pretty well in the second half. They won the game convincingly, 47-17, I believe. And they're halfway to a bowl game after not getting one last year.
And here's my thing, Seth. You know, I think that athletes who come to the University of Texas, or anywhere for that matter, and they hold up their end of the bargain, they get a degree. Okay, maybe they don't play a lot, maybe they play a little, maybe they don't play at all, but their bargain is to get a degree. Bouchel did that, and so he should be able to go anywhere he wants. He wanted to go home, and I wanted to ask you, what did you think of just his excitement level of being there, playing again? You said he was excited to see you.
I think he was. Actually, I think he was.
Who
he
isn't
was
excited to see you, Sid?
Let's see.
Bill Collector.
My mom. She's never excited.
I think it's one and the same.
Oh, yeah.
IRS,
yeah. But, yeah, he was. He was really – we talked outside the locker room. He was happy. He was like, crappy first half. I mean, that was the first thing he said. I said, you came back nicely. You know, he's glad to be playing football.
Mm. They get some talent?
Yeah, actually they do. They have this freshman running back by the name of T.J. McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
8 carries for 159, and he's a South Lake Carroll kid.
He is. He's up for Earl Campbell Award this week.
Stud horse. Just a stud.
A stud Mustang, maybe?
A stud Mustang.
Why do you only have 8 carries?
I don't know. This is the first time he's ever played. He didn't play the first two games.
I bet he's playing more.
I bet he's playing more, too. One of the faster white running backs I've seen in a long time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't mind giving a fast white boy his due.
And then
I like fast white boys.
And then, Kirk, you stayed in Houston for the Texans game the next day.
Is that in the same seat as the Rice game?
Same seat, exactly. Should have left your stuff there overnight. And Charles Omenihu made his debut for the Texans. And not only did Chuckles have his debut, but he had a sack, he had a forced fumble. Pretty, I would say, it's hard to drop a better scenario for your first NFL game.
I'm telling you, I was even giving him his due. I said, hey, you got a sack there. Is this your breakout game? Show you arrived? And he kind of scoffed at that. Hey, it's one sack. A lot of guys get one sack.
He's a smart kid.
So he was keeping it real. But he was feeling good. You know, he had a big media crowd around his locker. And
you feel me?
I stayed around and talked a little bit longer to him and asked him how. He said, J.J. Watt's kind of taking him under his wing. You know, he's kind of picking his brain every chance he gets. So, he looked good. He pressured the quarterback a lot. And, no Jadeveon Clowney.
Well, see, that's what I think. It's like as soon as they get rid of Clowney, I'm like, if you're Omenihu, this is a godsend.
Yeah.
I know. We were talking to, that the door opened. He came through it. He's playing well. Mm-hmm. You know, he got some props from B.O.B.
Yep.
In the offseason. He goes, you know what? A guy like Omenihu, he shows up. He's working hard. We need more guys like him. And now to hear that J.J. Watt is taking him under his wing. Now, that's a real shot in the arm.
Yeah, I asked him how many. He said he was on the field about 20 plays. You know, he wasn't there in the goal line defense at all. But he showed some promise there. I think we're going to be hearing a lot more from Charlie O.
Absolutely. So it was a very interesting weekend on that front, I think it's going to be a fascinating weekend coming up at Royal Memorial this weekend as well. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Longhorn Confidential, again, for Kirk, Cedric, this has been Brian, and Longhorn Confidential is, remember, it's brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or visit Zaxby's.com. This is Longhorn Confidential.